The need for swift action on an economic stimulus and any differences are very modest. The Senate is taking up its version with a price tag approaching $900 billion. Republican leader Mitch McConnell says the plan needs more mortgage relief and tax cuts than the president's proposal. He says housing must be part of any stimulus package.
We believe, Republicans, that a stimulus bill must fix the main problem first, and that's housing. That's how all of this began. We think you ought to go right at housing first.
The bill is a major test for Obama and Democrats controlling the Senate. There's unrest among Democrats, such as Budget Committee Chairman Kent Conrad, who have expressed concern that many of the items in the measure won't do much to stimulate the economy. The Senate measure is broadly similar to an $819 billion plan that passed the House last week. President Obama may soon tap a homosexual activist for a high-profile government post. AFN's Jim Brown has that story.
Smithsonian National Zoological Park Director John Barry is reportedly the frontrunner to be nominated Director of the Office of Personnel Management. That would make Barry the highest-ranking openly homosexual official in government history. Homosexual activist groups are predicting that if nominated and confirmed, Barry would work to greatly expand benefits for same-sex couples, something he did while he worked in the Interior Department. Peter LaBarbera with Americans for Truth About Homosexuality says Barry has been flouting the spirit, if not the letter, of the Defense of Marriage Act, which bars spousal recognition for same-sex couples.
First of all, looking at Mr. Barry's track record, it's obvious that he's a homosexual activist within the federal government, doing a lot of things within a Republican administration that most people never were aware of. So what we have is sort of a subversive, if you could call it that, homosexual activist, and now he's going to have an even much more visible and powerful role at OPM, which is a very powerful job in Washington, and it just shows what's going to happen under the Obama administration.
LaBarbera says although President Obama has been an outspoken champion of civil unions and domestic partner benefits for government employees, many people are unaware of how radical his campaign promises were to homosexual activists. I'm Jim Brown.
A meeting between underground house church leaders in China and government-sponsored scholars is being viewed favorably by some experts. The meeting involved six house church leaders and scholars in Beijing. According to China Aid Association, high-ranking government officials were upset about the meeting and requested that all news reports about the event be halted. Catherine Kaysen is with CAA and says the meeting is positive.
We are grateful for any meetings, any dialogue. Again, the viewpoints are so differing between government officials and house church Christians about the legitimacy of the Christians. You know, a lot of them are open to dialogue or secretly have favorable feelings towards the Christians.
More than 100 million Christians are members of unregistered house churches in China. Kentucky's governor is looking for quicker help for a state that's struggling to recover from an icy winter storm. Governor Steve Beshear is asking President Barack Obama to speed up federal aid by declaring a major disaster.
The step that we're taking today is to ask the president through FEMA to declare this a major disaster, which is the process to begin the federal reimbursement situation that is available to states and local governments.
By the way, Kentucky had the most power outages from last week's storm. Initially, 700,000 homes and businesses were in the dark. More than half have since had their power restored, but it could be weeks before everyone's lights are back on. And finally, 20th Century Fox will reportedly produce The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. The Disney Studios produced The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and Prince Caspian, but cited budget considerations in dropping the third film in the Chronicles of Narnia series. Reports say filming of The Voyage of the Dawn Treader is expected to begin this summer, with the movie arriving in theaters before Christmas 2010. For the American Family News Network, I'm Alan Ryan.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And we've been going through the Psalms, and I've decided to split it up into three segments because of the length of the book, and I will pick it up later. Being that the Psalms is 150 chapters, I'm going to cover 50 chapters at a time, so we'll be finishing up with the first segment of the Psalms today. And we left off in Psalm chapter 46, and we'll just pick up in verse 1 there. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. And Alamoth is, it says, properly girls, or the soprano or female voice, perhaps falsetto. So there we have another Hebrew word that was not translated into the English. God, our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, he shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. The kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. Yahuwah of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of Yahuwah, of course, that is the Creator by name, expressed in the Textus Receptus, the original Hebrew language, the best English translation we have, and I emphasize this occasionally, is, of course, the authorized King James Version. I believe that is the best English translation we have. But even in that best English translation, they did change the name of the Creator from what was given in the Hebrew, and which would be phonetically, I believe, to the best of my understanding and to the best of my research and the research of others. And I've considered a lot of different research on the pronunciation of the name. The best that I can do is to pronounce his name phonetically as Yahuwah. Is the full name. Of course, there are shortened versions of the name. One is Yah, as in Hallelujah. And you see in some places you'll see Yahuwah and Yahuwee even. So just for an understanding for those that are hearing the name for the first time, I know it does sound kind of strange. It kind of sounded strange to me at first, but after a while, once you do the little research for yourself, if you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, there's a link on there that says the name, and you can look at some of the research there for yourself, and hopefully it'll be convincing enough for you to realize that, yes, they did obliterate the name from the English translation of the Bible. That is the correct pronunciation, phonetic pronunciation of his name, and they changed it to a phrase which is usually interpreted in the English as the Lord. Okay, we'll move on. Continue here. Come, behold the works of Yahuwah, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. And basically, what it's saying here is that he is in control of the ends of the wars. They are all going to work for his purpose. And of course, the accusation from the unbelievers, the atheists, and the skeptics is, how could a good and loving God allow these things to go on? Well, then the question they really need to ask is, how could a good and loving God allow me to go on? Because the wars originate within me. That's right. Because the wars are the result of sin, that he determines the end of the wars and the direction of them, and that he wields them as a sword in his hand. They originate from us as a result of the sin of mankind. And the only way he could get rid of the wars without usurping the power he gave us to choose the course for our own lives, is to get rid of us as if we had never been born, to revoke that grace period that he gave to every one of us when he gave it to Adam and Eve. Because he said, in the day you eat the fruit thereof, you shall surely die. Well, they didn't die in that day, and that's another accusation that some would happen. He didn't die in that day, and then people come up with other theories like, oh, they died spiritually and things like that. Well, yes, they did lose a connection with the Creator because sin separated them. But whether they died spiritually or not, no. I don't believe that they died spiritually. They just... Their life changed spiritually and physically in that they were separated from the Creator. They didn't have that communion where they could enter right into the throne room. So yes, they lost privileges in the spiritual realm, but they did not die spiritually. Now the translation is like this. If you can understand, if I say you shall surely die, well, that's the death sentence. When he said, you shall surely die to them, that's what they received. He gave them a grace period to work out their salvation with fear and trembling, the same grace period we all get. And it's from that grace period that we get, which springs the wars and the trials and the tribulation and the suffering that comes in this life. So everyone that brings an accusation against God and say, how could a holy God, how could a loving and righteous and just God allow all of these things to go on? He allows them to go on because he allows you to go on. He directs those things, and they are temporary. They are temporal. And that's the view that he has. You have the view that this is permanent, and this is all there is. And how could a holy and how could a loving God allow all this suffering and evil and wars in the world? So your view is temporal. His view is not temporal. He's going to use those things. He spared not his own son from suffering. He perfected, he matured his own son through suffering. How much more us? And all of these trials and tribulations come into this life to try us, to see what sort of man we are. What are the choices? What are the decisions that we'll make through the trials and the suffering and the tribulation that comes with this life? That is a true test. What do you allow it to do to you? Will you be like Job and say, though he slay me, I will serve him? Or do you just bring all the accusations to him and lay them at his feet as the unbelievers, the critics, and the atheists do? They lay it all at his feet when all the time they are the worst instigators of it because they love darkness and they bring that darkness into the world. That our Father can say, all things work together for good to those that love me and are called according to my purpose. So we know that all of those things, regardless of how much suffering, how much pain, how much tribulation we have to endure in this life, we know that it's going to work together for our good. We have that eternal view. We know how short this life is. We don't have any illusions about it. We all can say to ourselves, I shall surely die. Of course, I don't know about these atheists, skeptics, and unbelievers out there. You know, they know that their mortal existence is going to cease to their body's going to cease to function. They shall surely die too. But they have illusions like that they believe lies, that God is not going to allow them to go to heaven. That's the most popular one. Most people believe that because they can't deny the existence of the Creator. So they hold on to that one. I'm a good man. And they'll stand in their own righteousness, their own goodness, how they're better than most people. And it's true, while they may be better than most people, they may have not committed notorious sins like Hitler and Jeffrey Dahmer and George Bush and other great sinners of the world. And you know, the list just goes on of great sinners, Stalin and, you know, all those great people. And, of course, you have the guy that sits in the seat of the Antichrist over there and all of his followers and all their pedophiles. So yes, if we compare ourselves to other, but our righteousness is not good enough to stand through the trial that we have to stand through. Only his righteousness, that is the righteousness of his Redeemer, and only his shed blood will get us through the trial that we all have to stand in. And the other ones just believe the lie of evolution, which gets them off the hook. They're just going to die and fade into nothingness and just turn back into dirt. course, they can't answer the question, why am I different from a dog? Why doesn't the dog know it's going to die, or all of the other animals out there, which they think they are just one of, because they were created in the image of the Creator himself. That's why they know. That's why they have an awareness that goes beyond the program of instinct alone. Yes, man does have instinct, like the animals, but beyond the animals, we have that awareness that cannot be denied. So he controls everything, and he controls the wars, but we dare not bring an accusation against him because of the suffering, because of the wars, because of all of these things, all of the evil that is in the world around us. He says, chapter 46 and verse 9, he maketh wars to cease. Unto the end of the earth he breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. And you know, just back to that verse for a minute, it tells us that he is the one who ends the wars. I didn't see that at the first reading, but now that I read that again, he maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. He's the one who brings the end to the wars. If he stepped back, and if he just let sinful, dark-hearted, evil man have their way, the wars would never end. And they would never have a good purpose. Nothing good would ever come out of them, because they would never end. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that revelation, for showing me your word. So he's the one who brings the ends to the wars. He's the one who turns them for good, for those that love him, for those that are called according to his purpose. All these things will work for our good. And for all of you evil men out there that hate the Creator, that hate his law, it's not going to work out too good for you. So repent. The kingdom is at hand. Repent while you have time. Repent before your heart becomes so dark and so hard that you cannot see the light of day and all you feel is bitterness. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. That was the message of the Master, and my message is no different than his. Continuing in chapter 46, verse 10, then he says, be still and know that I am God. And, of course, the Creator speaking there, saying, I am God, Yahuwah. I will be exalted among the heathen. Well, perhaps my ancestors were heathen, and perhaps I was a heathen until he converted me. Now I exalt him. I don't know what my bloodline is. It doesn't matter. The genealogies had one purpose, to lead up to the Messiah. After that, they're worthless. God's chosen people are those that are living in his kingdom, obeying his law, those that love him, that say, I only want to do the things that please you. I will endure till the end in your kingdom. I will crucify the deeds of the flesh. These are God's chosen people. These are the seed of Abraham by faith. These are the seed of the Messiah. It is no bloodline or nationality or creed on the earth in the kingdoms of men. He says, I will be exalted in the earth. Exalt him. Verse 11, Yahuwah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Chapter 47, to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. O clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For Yahuwah Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue. He is the king over all the earth. All the earth. Is there any part of the earth he's not the king over? And if he is the king over all the earth, where is the kingdom of God? Is it just in Jerusalem? Is it just wherever the Jews are? No. He is the king over all the earth. And this is Old Testament time for those that are hanging on to dispensationalism and saying, oh, well, that was the kingdom of God, and Jesus was, he failed in his mission when he came the first time. He was going to set up the kingdom of God on earth, and so it went to plan B. That's nonsense. That's confusion. That's to bring an accusation against the Creator and say he's stupid. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know beforehand what was going to happen, but he knew it all from beginning to end. There were no surprises. He came to do what he did. He didn't have one plan and it didn't work out, so he went to plan B. That's all nonsense. That's confusion. Our Creator is much bigger than that. There is no thing that he does not know. There is nothing that will happen that he hasn't already seen. How could it be that he had one plan and it didn't work out? No, he is the king over all the earth. He was then when the psalmist wrote that, and he is now. Says he shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. And who is the us and who are the nations under our feet? Well, he shall. When he comes, all of the nations of men will be under him, and all of these other governments will be done away with, all of these beasts, all of Mystery Babylon, all of the governments of Mystery Babylon represented by Daniel's image, which Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, and the Creator gave Daniel the interpretation thereof. They will be driven away. It will be utterly destroyed and driven away like the chaff drives away the wind. And it says so that there is no place found for them. We're talking about Mystery Babylon. We're talking about the governments of men, the beasts, which is represented by Mystery Babylon throughout all time, starting with the world government of Nebuchadnezzar being the head of gold, all the way down through history to the time when of the end of all of those governments, the time of the end of the times of the Gentiles, when the rock strikes the feet of Mystery Babylon and shatters it so that there's no place found for it. And then that rock becomes like a mountain and covers the whole earth. That is the rock and cornerstone and foundation of all prophecy. All prophecy for the governments of men fits into that piece of prophecy there. If you understand that, you can understand a lot about what's going on and about what's going to happen. And that's why I emphasize it so much, because there is so much wrong information out there, and you can hear them all. You can hear the Apocalypse Comedy on the other channel, Apocalypse Chronicles. Sorry about that. It might as well be a comedy, except it's not funny when you get people following all these strange ideas, newspaper headline eschatology. So he is the king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us, the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. God is gone up with a shout, Yahuwah with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises unto God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Is greatly exalted. It's chapter 48. A song of and psalm for the sons of Korah. Great is Yahuwah, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. All right, we need to go into a break here.
Those under the clouds, staring up in awesome wonder. As tears come slowly down, I'm reaching up a needful hand. And you are my eyes when I cannot see. You are my voices sing through me. You are my strength in weakness, be. To find that I could fall,
fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
To take care of some technical issues there, but we're back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My website is crosstheborder.org. I hope you enjoyed the lengthy musical interlude there with the song Our God is a Consuming Fire, and I've always enjoyed that band. Okay, we left off. We were talking about Psalm 48, verse 1, and I'll just pick up there again since I lost my place. When all the phones start ringing, I know it's time to look at something else. So thank you all for calling in, and even if I don't answer the phone, I get to it. What fixing the problem, that is. Okay, Psalm chapter 8. 48, I mean, in verse 1, a song and psalm for the sons of Korah. Great is Yahuwah, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. And I don't know if the psalmist was singing about Jerusalem, perhaps the psalmist was, but Jerusalem, the city, has been, well, will be one day. It will be the joy of the whole earth, and that'll be the day when the king comes back and he obliterates all of the governments of men, and his government covers the whole earth, and Jerusalem will be the joy of the whole earth. We look forward to that day, because that day I will have put on my immortality with all of those from all time, from all history, from the beginning, counting Adam and Eve, all the way to when that time happens. All of us will have put on our immortality, all of those of us who have trusted in the Creator's Redeemer. Verse 3, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them, and pain, as a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of Yahuwah of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. And he obviously hasn't established it forever yet. Because I'll tell you what, when he establishes Jerusalem forever, when the times of the Gentiles, the time that Jerusalem and the Temple Mount are not being trod under feet of the nations, then the Dome of the Rock will not be there. That's right. There will be no pagan idolatry going on in Jerusalem whatsoever. It will all be cleansed. It will be all done away. Makes me think of this other false prophet out there who's telling everyone the times of the Gentiles. He calculated it. The times of the Gentiles ended, and he set some date. And I guess the scripture must be wrong, or, you know, because he must have something beside the scripture that he's looking for, because it still looks like the times of the Gentiles to me. I haven't seen all of the nations of the earth dashed to pieces so that they're blown away like the chaff from the threshing floor, so that there's no place found for them. That's ended. Well, nobody notified me. So, you know, like I said, it's all out there for you people if you want the false prophecies and the tickle-itching ears. Because so many people, they want an answer. And, you know, I understand that hunger. And they want an answer, but there's all these false teachers and false prophecy pundits out there that are willing to give answers. Somewhere deep down inside, I know that they know what they're saying isn't right. But they're willing to compromise just a little here and a little there on the Word of God, to just add a word here or to ignore that there because it doesn't quite fit in with the scenario. And they don't want to make themselves look bad. I'll tell you what, if I'm wrong, if I say something that's wrong that doesn't line up with the scripture, I want people to tell me. I want you to make me look bad. And then I'll make myself look good by repenting and saying I was wrong. Because that's what the true man of God does. That's what those who love the truth do. They do the truth. That's what it means to do the truth, is to be teachable, to be correctable. So if I'm saying anything wrong here, I want you to challenge me. Because I want to speak the truth. I don't want to be wrong. I want to be right. But I don't want to be right to the exclusion of the truth. I want to be right because I am teachable. So anyone out there, if I'm wrong on anything, correct me. Correct me using the Word of God. Get out your e-sword and show me. Let's carry on a dialogue and we'll see what the end is. Because you know what? The Scripture does say that the Word of God is of no private interpretation. So we should all agree. That's right. We should all agree. And if we don't agree, if I don't agree with someone, then I need to sincerely look at what they're saying. And I need to try it and test it and prove it using the Word of God. And they do too. But so many people I find have blinders on. I think there's a lot of pride there. I just want to make sure it's not me. Yes, we all have our measure of pride. You know, we're all men, so we have to be willing to acknowledge that and examine everything we believe, everything we hold to, whatever doctrines they are, and then be willing to lay them down if they don't measure up to the measure of His Word and the test of His Word. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. And we discuss how, yes, he puts an end to wars. Everything is in his hand. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of Yahuwah of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. And yes, he will. Verse 9, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Make ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Chapter 49 and verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. All ye inhabitants of the world, all ye people, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, in the meditation of my heart, of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil? And the kind of when it says, wherefore should I, it means, why should I fear in the days of evil? When the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. Your riches can't buy life. Your riches can't keep you from going into the grave. Verse 9, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the prudish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They shall call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, being in honor, abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. For their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Like sheep they are laid in the grave, death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. In their beauty, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. For he shall receive me. Be thou not afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou dost well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. The psalmist in so many words. And don't worry about the rich man around you, and the rich rulers of the earth, and the money masters, and those that wield the power that money gives them over the earth and over the people and the nations and the kingdoms, because they're just going to die. Their wealth, their riches keep their eyes focused on things mortal, yes, temporal. So their eyes are focused on those things. They don't get that eternal view. And if they do, they can turn those riches to some good use. Because no man knows what's going to happen to all the things that he worked for. You know, I labor hard. I work hard. And I don't know who's going to get the things that I labored hard and worked hard for. And the things that I built during my mortal existence. One thing I do know is that they're all going to fall down and perish. Everything that I make is going to end up in the junkyard. That's right. All the automobiles, all of the houses, they're all going to fall down. They're all going to stop running. They're all just going to, you can't take them with you. And you can say, well, I'm going to give them to my posterity. But you don't know what's going to happen to them. The minute you die, they may be just like all the heathen out there. gather like vultures to divide up the spoil, and spend it all and waste it all and squander it all. I've seen it over and over. And if you've had your eyes open, you've seen it too. Especially with the kingdoms of this world and the laws of this world, their laws of inheritance and the way they divide things up aren't according to God's law of inheritance. His laws of inheritance are different. He meant for the oldest son to become the head of the clan and all of the clan's holdings. That's the law of God's inheritance. But the law of man's inheritance is a little different. They give it to the lawyers. And after the lawyers and the judges part it out to their friends and their buddies in business, yes, they part it out. The judges and the lawyers do. You better believe it. And then they send a pittance, perhaps, maybe, to the heirs. Now, don't do a will according to the kingdoms of this world, but look into setting up a trust and setting up inside that trust private law that'll divide or pass your inheritance upon according to the law of God. So we have that right under religious liberty. As long as we have religious liberty, we can do that. And that's what the rich people do anyway. They create trusts to transfer and save their property from the wolves of the Internal Revenue disservice, because they do a disservice to the family. Their object is to destroy the family, to destroy family holdings, to destroy family government, because they do not like competition, don't like it one bit. And it's all there in God's law. How you set it up today is a little difficult, but for anyone who searches it out, well, it can be found out. I might steer someone, if they emailed me, in the right direction, but I'm not into that kind of business or anything helping, but I can just give some... Well, I can tell you what I would do if I were you in your situation. If you want to do it according to whole property, according to God's law, and how you set it up in this world. Yes, yeah, you still have to pay property taxes and things like that. I'm afraid there's no way around that. At least I haven't found any. If anyone finds a way around that, well, you just let me know, because I would like to know that one too. Okay, where are we at? Man in honor, yes. So, everyone goes to the generation of their fathers. Let's just hope that your father is our Heavenly Father, and you are walking in His kingdom, and you're going where He wants you to go. Now, we've got one. We'll just finish out the day wherever we finish off, and then we'll end that, and we'll move on to another book, and we'll pick up the Psalms later. We're in chapter 50. It's one-third of the chapters, at least, of Psalms, a psalm of Asaph. And Asaph is the name of three Israelites, the family of the first. Asaph. The mighty God, even Yahuwah, by name, Yahuwah, the name of the Creator, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness. For God is judge himself. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for sacrifices or thy burnt offerings continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. He owns the cattle upon a thousand hills. Does that mean just 1,000? No. It means all the hills. They're all his. Even if they're ours, they're his. Because he gives us what he gives us for our mortal existence. Any property rights we have are only in our mortality. Because property rights cease. Even man's law understands that. That property rights cease when you die. And that's why they gather like vultures when you die to divide up the spoil amongst the living. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving. Yes, and what a beautiful sound. What a beautiful thing, true thanksgiving. And pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to declare to my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, when thou contendest with him, and hast been a partaker with adulterers, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. You do those things, he's saying, you slander yourself. These things thou hast done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest I was altogether as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offers praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, and that is conversation meaning the way you live, your lifestyle. When you order it aright, he says, will I show the salvation of God? And there is nothing more important than that you get your conversation right with him and cross the border into his kingdom. Live a life that is pleasing to the Almighty. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned for the news.
Having laid our mighty cry, you came to earth to live and die, that we might be
your praise.